So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
It's so great to be with you. It's Monday, which means it's our weekly happy hour here on Trending. Joining me in just a little bit will be Christina Pineda. We're going to talk about everything from does sex outside of marriage make you happier? We'll also dive into the topic of being spiritual versus religious. If you're spiritual without religion, does that make you happier? We're also taking your dating questions. So give us a call or ask your question live now on Instagram. Just follow me and ask your question at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. The question box is up in my story. Okay, so lots to discuss. I want to take your questions. And also, if you have a question for me, it's number 1 year coming to a big crescendo. It's the first year, marking the first year of our baby's birth. It's her birthday today. We just finished having cake and celebration. Now, I'm one of those parents who does not give my child sugar. Like, my dad nearly got some like eyes in the back of his head the other day because he like gave her this like full giant like fruit snack while I was away for a little bit. And my mom and sister were like, we told you she doesn't eat sugar. Yes, I'm that parent. So anyways, I was waiting for, you know, kind of just trying to be careful. And anyways, lo and behold, we gave her some cake tonight. And it's like she knew this cake sitting in front of her belonged to her because she started while we're singing with like little fingers. And it was a ways away. She's usually pretty good without like grabbing at something like that. She pulls the whole tray up to herself and literally just starts gnawing on the side of the cake. And she full on went for it. It was absolutely adorable. She's going to bed any moment. Usually she goes to bed right around now. But I think my husband's dealing with a child who's bouncing off the walls at the moment from all that sugar. She ate a big piece of cake. Like, I didn't know that much cake after a full meal could fit into a little human being. It's pretty incredible. But I wanted to speak for just a moment here. And before we get it to some of the Mariah Carey story that's come out over the last week, I have been amazed 1 year into having a baby. And it really is a reminder for me how much being a parent changes you and grows you. So many people today talk about how being a parent, having children, gets in the way of their hopes, their dreams, their goals. But if anything, it shifts your hopes, your dreams, and goals and makes them so much better. And it makes you stop putting your ideas first. You know, everyone talks about, you know, if you want to make God laugh, make a plan. Well, if you want to make God laugh, make a plan and have a child and still try to stick to that original plan. I mean, there's so much to becoming a parent, but it's a great gift. It never comes or happens in the shape, size, or exactly the right timing we want. I was just talking to a woman earlier today. I was getting my hair cut, and she was talking about how one of the other women there in the salon was having her baby. She's having a baby a little later in life. And I said, how did it go? She had her kid, right? They said, yes. But she kept saying, okay, I want to work all week, and then I'm going to have my baby on Saturday or Sunday because I'm going to get my exact 3 months off as I have planned. And it was so funny because she's like, well, she didn't quite get it. She had her baby on Friday. She almost worked the whole week. But I was laughing because we can be so determined. Like, I'm going to have my baby on this day. I'm going to have my perfect home in this time. And then I'll get pregnant. We have all these plans that we try to make for the perfect timing, the perfect situation. But in reality, being a parent presents a lot of new challenges. A whole new demeanor. Are you going to have a good sleeper, a hyper baby, a happy baby, a colicky baby, a healthy baby, maybe not a fully healthy baby? There's so many challenges that present themselves. But at the end of the day, if we actually understand, this is important as people of faith, if we actually understand and believe that that baby's life is a gift, a true gift, then we are willing to take whatever comes our way, whoever comes our way, whatever type of personality they may be, difficult or hard. And I've seen so many parents go before me who have adult children now, teenage children, who are difficult. And my question is this. When a baby's first born, when we first find out we're pregnant, or when they're just a couple years old, are we able to have that same level of recognizing as pro-life people that this child is a gift, as we do when there are difficult days and moments and years, in the teen years, when things are a little more difficult to juggle your schedule, their schedule, when they're just being hormonal and awful, do we recognize in that moment that this child, this human being, is still a gift? And a gift entrusted to me to foster and grow and develop and love. I'm so grateful for the gift of being a parent. I'm so grateful. And I think that if we can continue to keep this perspective, and I'm telling myself this is one of those reminders, like if you have a thing, you know, remember 10 years from now, or any parenting tip as I'm hitting this 1 year milestone with my baby girl celebrating her birthday, I'd love to hear it. Feel free to call me, share. Number is 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. Okay, so did you hear Mariah Carey? So you've known her album that came out years ago. Now, I didn't realize that Mariah Carey's song, oh, there it is. Yes, that song, 1994. This song's almost 30 years old. Thank you for that surprise, Lucas. That is fantastic. I'm totally feeling it. That song, almost 30 years old. I had no idea. Okay, so she has been called for years now, singer-songwriter Mariah Carey, the Queen of Christmas. This year, she has actually commented on the Queen of Christmas title. And she's actually commented recently that she's not the Queen of Christmas. In fact, she's emphasized that it's the Blessed Virgin Mary who is. And she said, I never called myself the queen of people. She said, that's what other people did. And I just want to humbly say that I do not consider myself that. Because she wants people to understand that the person who deserves, the person who holds and will forever hold that title in all of human history as the queen of Christmas, it's not the president's wife who might bedeck the halls for Christmas and beautiful decorations. No, it's Our Lady. Doesn't matter how beautifully you decorate your house, what Christmas song you write, if you have the perfect Christmas Eve decorations, a perfect Christmas dinner, who's the queen of Christmas? We've got to get over ourselves, our decorations, and all of these various elements that we become distracted by during Christmas. And recognize that the Blessed Virgin Mary is queen of Christmas. If Mariah Carey, who I think that she has a lesson to teach us here, especially during our weekly happy hour, that when we are honest and humble with ourselves and about ourselves, even in the face of great success, and grant, All I Want for Christmas was released almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago, right? That she still, in the face of how successful her Christmas music has been, this fantastic career, sharing this gift and this talent, and bringing all this joy during Christmas through her music, that she doesn't kind of sit here like, oh yeah, I've got the best music. I'm the queen of Christmas. Everyone listens to my album. No, she actually is commenting, and she's not even Catholic. I think she's Episcopalian. I was looking at that the other day, or one of those denominations. She's literally giving honor to the mother of God. Now, she may or may not believe that Mary is the mother of God, but what she does believe, and I think this is really important, what she does believe at the bare minimum is that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, we know that means that she's the mother of God. But she's turning our attention in the face of all of this Christmas music, lights, getting your gifts before the end of the season or before it's too late. Remember all of the challenges with the shortfalls and the delayed deliveries and supply chain challenges. She's teaching us something important. Don't get distracted and don't become too big for your britches. Be humble and be honest with yourself about who you are. That's the context that I think all of us need to remind ourselves daily of. This is why I love, for example, the Litany of Humility. Have you ever prayed the Litany of Humility? It is such a great gift when it comes to prayer. The Litany of Humility walks through all of these various examples of how we can be more humble. The Litany of Humility, kind of just to start it, it really emphasizes from different things, for example, from the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being honored, Deliver me, O Jesus. And it goes on and on from all these things that we want attention. We want to be consulted. We want to be approved. We don't want to be humiliated. All of these things, it goes through. It says, Lord, deliver me, basically from this over-obsession with myself. So we'll include a link to the Litany of Humility in the podcast notes for today's show. And also we'll post the link now on social media if you want to pray that. I am going to tell you, if you don't already, print out your prayers. Who has a printer still? I actually only have a printer because my mom bought a printer when she was at my house because she was working. She's like, how do you survive without a printer? So I now have a printer. Anyways, print out this prayer and pray it. Because when we are honest with ourselves, we are happier human beings. We are starting to live closer to that actual virtue of joy rather than the fleeting momentary happiness. It's easy to have kind of a chip on our shoulder. Well, wow, that person didn't consult me or ask my opinion on something. I'm offended. That's really pride. Or those moments where we think that we need to be, you know, viewed as so wonderful because we had the perfect Christmas tree and everyone should have complimented us on our Christmas tree, our Christmas decorations. And there's so many examples where we just need to get over ourselves, but we need that prayer to help us build the virtue of humility. So pray the virtue or pray the Litany of Humility. Incredibly beautiful prayer. There's actually a version of the Litany of Humility sung by Audrey Assad. Such a sad story that she's not even Christian anymore, by the way. I've talked about that here on the show. But Audrey Assad sings a beautiful version of part of the Litany of Humility prayer that is another beautiful way to pray this prayer. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now is celebrity and royal matchmaker, also matchmaking us peasants as well. If you have a question for her, give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We'd love to take your question. You can also comment now with your question on Instagram. Follow me at Timory, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Christina Pinedo, welcome back to Trending.
Thanks, Timory. So good to be with you on this very special day.
So I want to dive into the topic. It's our weekly happy hour having to do with whether or not sex outside of marriage actually makes us happier. We've seen very controversial and kind of in the limelight stories such as Khloe Kardashian. Let's talk a little bit about her story, what's happening, and how it really does bring up this question having to do with sex outside of marriage and whether we're happier doing it.
Yes. Yeah, so just to bring everyone up to speed on Khloe Kardashian's life, Khloe had her daughter and her daughter's name True out of wedlock with the baby's name is True? Yes.
Okay, it's True.
This is Hollywood, Timory.
Stage names. Stage names from babies from the time they come out of the womb, right?
Exactly. And Tristan Thompson is the baby's True's father. He is an NBA star. It came out while she was having her daughter that Tristan was basically cheating on her almost during the labor. It was very gauche. It was really terrible how that all happened. So everyone hated Tristan after that situation. You and I last year covered Khloe's date cleanse that she did during lockdowns.
Right.
Because she said she wanted to stop dating to focus on herself and her daughter during that time. Her mother, Kris Jenner, told her, I'm pretty sure it was live on Keeping Up with Kardashians, to freeze her eggs.
Right. Oh my gosh, that whole dialogue. I think we even played it on the show where they go back and forth about she's literally telling her daughter who just went through this like massive breakup and who's going on a dating cleanse that she needs to fear for her fertility.
Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
Yes. And I think you did a separate show on that. And then in April 2020, Khloe said that she'd consider Tristan as a sperm donor, which shows me that she was listening to what her mom was saying. I hope she didn't get her eggs frozen, but it doesn't seem like the date cleanse was as spiritually focused as we had hoped. And then in August 2020, Khloe and Tristan got back together. They seemed really happy. She was saying that she's so proud of him for all the work that he was doing on himself. Apparently he was going to therapy. And then, though, from December to March 2021, so December 2020 to March 2021, Tristan was cheating on her again with another woman, Marilyn Nichols, who is now pregnant and is suing Tristan for child support, but he's denying that he's the father of her child.
What a mess. What, yes. How do people live like this? This is where this comes back to this whole topic of, are people actually happier who are engaging in sex outside of marriage? Because we hear stories like this, and sure, this story is, perhaps you could argue, sensationalized because it's public and the kid's name is true, but I'm going to get into so much trouble for making fun of that name. I just send me the hate mail. I shouldn't be making fun of a child's name, but, you know, we do see these stories sensationalized, and we do end up, I think, thinking like, well, that's just Hollywood. But the reality is, you know people, you've worked with them as a matchmaker. I've known people who actually have stories identical to this. And it gets so messy when you create a baby daddy situation or try to get pregnant outside of marriage even. Because let's admit, there are a lot of women doing that today. And it doesn't make us happier in the end. Even if we got what we want, whether it's the pleasure, the one night stands, we got a short time commitment from the man, or even if we got a baby out of it, if that's what you were looking for.
Right. And even from, I'm thinking of it from the man's perspective, because Tristan is an NBA star. These men are treated like royalty. They get everything that they want. They've definitely worked hard. I'm not trying to take that away from them, but they get to a point where it's so hard to resist the temptation to get your way all the time if you're handed everything. And he reminds me of King Solomon and how King Solomon fell from grace as a result of the many wives and concubines that he got. He had so much, the Lord blessed him with so much wealth, everything, splendor, clothes, just palace, everything. And then he just kept amalgamating these wives, and that brought him to a place where he started losing his faith and losing God's favor because of the decisions that he was making and the women who were taking him away from God. So it just shows with Chloe, she's heartbroken again. She got cheated on again. Tristan is a recidivist cheater, and he's dealing with a lawsuit as well as the world knowing and his daughter knowing that he's a confirmed cheater, which the world is one thing, but imagine if you're a man, imagine if your daughter is going to grow up knowing this about you and knowing how you treated her mother. I think that must be really painful. So even from his perspective, bad.
And people always say, well, kids are so resilient, they're fine. Kids are not resilient. Yes, they adapt, they cope, but those coping mechanisms and the long-term aftermath is something that people like to just dust under the rug, ignore. And the reality is that having a baby out of wedlock increases the likelihood that that child will develop ADHD. You know, having a child out of wedlock will increase its likelihood toward poverty. And grant, this child in particular is not going to experience that, being a Kardashian. But, you know, if we look at some of these examples, the reality is that the decisions we make, thinking that we'll be happy if we engage in intimacy outside of marriage, look at the breakdown. Tristan's heartbreak knowing his daughter knows this. You know, his now denying that the second child is his. Of course he wants to deny it. Given the culture we live in, you don't want to be caught up. We don't want our mistakes to push, kind of just hit us in the face. Especially in a culture of abortion and contraception, people think that, you know, there's no strings attached. And that found he has multiple strings attached still. And you see women who are not choosing to necessarily stay on birth control or stick with abortions as that fail-safe. And here we are with Khloe Kardashian's experience of this bonding together that they will forever be in and out of a relationship moving forward because of this bonding they've engaged in.
Right. She's Khloe. As a result of many matters, but their premarital intimacy and the fact that they have a daughter together, Chloe will always be bonded to Tristan and have to see him pretty frequently. the way that this has been relating to a lot of the women who I've been coaching recently, some of them have been telling me that they felt haunted by an ex. And like Chloe, they just can't escape this ex. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to break free from it. And it's not going to be a simple, quick, do this remedy or do this mind game and you will be done with that relationship. When you end a relationship, it's going to take a long time to heal from that relationship. But I want you to remember that if you've ended the relationship, you've done it for a reason, and you should have done it for a good reason. If that person had cheated on you or some other bad thing that you realized this wasn't the right man for you, that you're going to have to go through a healing process. And this man has closed the door to your trust, so I wouldn't reopen it like Chloe did with Tristan. You probably will feel nervous that you won't feel that passion that you felt for this person again, but the passion that you felt was probably a heightened form of anxiety, and you're only remembering the good times of this relationship. So just keep that in mind, that especially if things end on bad terms, that there's anxiety mixed in with that passion that you're remembering. My recommendation for that is to end the relationship, of course, block the person on social media. That will at least take the person out of your immediate sight. Mm-hmm. But even so, even if you're doing everything right and deleting this person from your life physically, you still probably will have to suffer the pain and emotional consequences of the relationship. So knowing that time will help, but you can also pray for this person and offer sacrifices for that person, offer up your suffering for the relationship, for the souls of purgatory, for instance, or for the conversion of sinners. Those are all good ways to use your pain and use your suffering for good. But know that just because you're still thinking about him doesn't mean that he's your person.
Or vice versa. If you're a man who is being haunted by your ex who keeps starting coming back, you know, sometimes we only think about the female side of being haunted by exes, but the other is true as well. We'll be right back with Christina Pineda. We'd love to take your question, 1-888-914-9149, or Ask Now Live on Instagram. We have tons of questions coming in for Christina. We'll be right back here on Trending during our happy hour. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Christina Pineda, the celebrity and royal matchmaker. You can find her at matchmakersinthecity.com. She matchmakes everyone from celebrities, royals, and again, us peasants too. We can ask our questions as well of her. Send me your questions online now on Instagram. Follow me at Timory, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Or you can also give me a call, numbers 1-888-914-9149. Christina, I want to take a question coming in from Jay. Jay, what's your question or comment for us today on Trending?
Hi, I have a comment. Just kind of going back to what you were talking about in relation to Khloe Kardashian. You know, I think a lot of the time as, quote, the common folk, we just forget that celebrities are people too. And I think a lot of the times we just are part of glorifying maybe sinful nature or just mistakes that they make in general. And instead, I think we have to focus more on holding them accountable, you know, just as we would anybody else. And of course, you know, in love and in a Christ-like matter, but accountable no less.
You know, and I think it's sad because I do believe someone like Kris Jenner was, you know, amping it up on their show Keeping Up with the Kardashians when she told her daughter to literally freeze her eggs. Like, they do things for entertainment, but yeah. Do they realize the things they're doing for entertainment are leading to life choices that are actually hurting them as individuals, as a family? So I think that's a really important point, Jay, that you just made. Christina, any thoughts here?
Yeah, I think that, yes, even celebrities are human. So we all make mistakes, and their mistakes are highlighted for the world to see. But in a certain sense, they can provide examples of what to do and what not to do. And my sister actually just gave a talk for teenagers, and she was saying their eyes were glazed over. It was a religious talk, actually, for Catholics, I think at confirmation.
And lucky if they got to hear from your sister. They did not know what they were missing. She's got so much energy to bring.
Yeah, she did a great job. But the minute she brought up a celebrity, all of their eyes were fixed on her. And I think that celebrities can really bring a lot to the table with just reaching young people who that's who they care about.
Yeah,
so even Khloé, yeah, they're influencers. And of course, Khloé reminds me of some of my clients, a lot of my clients. So whenever I say these things, it's not that I'm trying to criticize her at all. It's that we can learn from things that she does, and people have learned from mistakes that I've made who I've date coached. But yeah, their lives are looked at with a spotlight.
Okay, we have tons of questions coming in, but I'd like to start by taking one of them. Speaking of teenagers, actually, just for a brief moment, I really do respect teenager reaching out. I'm not quite 18 yet. Ellie Alua on Instagram said, "I'm not quite 18 yet. I will date for marriage and will only do with my parents' permission, but is that the right mindset to have?"
Let's see. What do you think, Timmy?
I think she made a great point. You know, only dating for marriage. And if you're under 18, you should be talking to your parents and making sure that everything's okay. You know, parents should know where you're at, what sort of dates you're going on. But I would even argue, you know, when you're over the age of 18, it's not like suddenly click, everything changes and you're in perfectly safe environments with the people you go on dates with. I think that it's still good to make sure that other people know the people you're going on dates with. And while permission may or may not be necessary, you know, it depends on the rules of your family's house and what they expect if you're still living under your parents' roof. But I think that what she said to begin with was so on point. Ellie said, "I will date for marriage." That's what I think is missing at the heart of so many dating relationships, that whether you're under 18 or above 18, unless you're dating for marriage, that's really going to just put you in a lot of inappropriate situations prior to marriage if you are dating in high school without that perspective. And that's the type of culture that is feeding into teen pregnancy. It's a type of culture that's leading women to be on birth control, leading them to abortion. And that's why I think it's so important that even if a teenager is going to date, that they start to understand what marriage is and that that's the purpose. And so that should be the perspective that anyone who begins to date has. So I think that's a really good comment by Ellie.
Yes. And as you said, whatever age, it doesn't change just because you hit 21 and then, oh, we can date not for marriage now. I would continue with that perspective and keep it as the Blessed Virgin Mary kept these things in her heart. I would keep that in your heart to guide your dating journey. You don't need to say that on a first date, obviously. So that little scare went away.
It depends on the person. I had so much respect for my sister. She met someone on a dating app, you know, first date. She laid it down clear. "I'm only marrying someone who's Catholic and I don't believe in any sex before marriage." Like, she made it clear. I almost think, like, if that's your personality, Christina, go for it. Someone will love you or hate you based on what they know. Like, if that really turns them off because you were blunt about something that means so much to you, I don't know. I think that that's okay.
You know, that's true. Go your sister. I love that. I'm just a little more, I don't know. I guess when I was dating, my feelings would get hurt a lot more easily. So I'm a little more delicate with these things. Yeah.
I guess the reason why I'm so blunt about it is so many situations can be so difficult that it's not just sex before marriage, but there's just pressure to perform and do more than you're comfortable with or that's even appropriate in dating circumstances. And so I think sometimes holding that boundary is sometimes a safe haven from even putting yourself in a semi-compromised situation or from them trying to begin with.
That's true.
Okay, we have more questions coming in. If you'd like to ask your question now, the number is 1-888-914-9149 for celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda. And I know you're not going to tell us who you match made celebrity wise, but we're always curious who the royals are as well. I know I've tried to pick your brain, but you've been pretty tight-lipped about this one. But if you'd like to visit her work, you can find them at matchmakersinthecity.com. Let's change gears here. Another topic that I think is really fascinating, and I know you see this in the dating world, is this whole idea of being spiritual but without religion. I'm quote, spiritual, not religious. And I know you've commented that you've even started to see this with your dating profiles of some of the people you're matchmaking. Can you share a little bit more?
Yes, that term, when we ask the question, what is your religion, has been pretty common in LA for the 10 years that we've had our company in LA. But our other service areas are New York, San Francisco, and DC. Those are the other main service areas. And we've started to hear that a lot more commonly in those cities, and then all over the US and all over the world too. So I feel like it's becoming this just easy thing to say. And I think most people, first of all, aren't even spiritual. If they say they're spiritual, not religious, that just means that they probably have a faint belief in God, but they're not actually doing any spiritual practices. It's more of a gloss term to make themselves more attractive to potential suitors without being too strict in one religion that they would turn away a certain other group of people.
Okay, so I have a little bit of a theory. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. When I see people say they're spiritual, not religious, I think they're trying to communicate a lot of things. You just touched on some of them. I think they're trying to say, by being spiritual, not religious, I'm not bound by anything, but I do believe in something. And I think that spiritual, not religious, is also the culturally woke version of saying you have a religion today, but it's also a means of communicating, well, you know, I'm yoga-ish, you know, I believe in like doing good, I believe in karma. I actually think a lot of the yoga principles and a lot of Confucian influence has impacted the spiritual, not religious thing, at the same time as trying to commit yourself to having some level of religion, but then saying, I'm not bound by anything. I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm a free human being.
Right. And we know that you think that you're free, but you're actually not with that. That if we're not following the Lord, we become slaves to sin. So your freedom is actually taken away when we're not following the Lord. When we're following the Lord is the only time that we're truly free. And that means following the Lord's law. And it's amazing how many Psalms praise the Lord's law and how the framework that our Catholic faith gives us to be able to be free within that. It's like coloring within the lines. It's creating a beautiful, rich life with the framework that God gives us and the pattern that he shows us that these are the things that are going to make you happy. And he gives us that plan, but he gives us so much more. He gives us so many different personalities and ways to explore our lives. But you're right, Timri. I agree with your theory that people want that feeling of religion, that feeling that, oh yeah, I'm doing well, I'm doing good, without the rules or without the work that go into being a religious person. Maybe without the stigma of being a religious person. Right. But
you know, I keep thinking, go ahead.
I was just going to say that order is so necessary for our happiness. And for this question, does spirituality without religion make you happier? No, because we need order. Even both of us having babies, we know how important routines are to keep them happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not overtiring them, not making them starving. You know, babies can get hangry too. I get so tired of hearing that people say things like, kids adapt or they're fine. It's like, my child is tired. My child is starving. You can't just, you know, expect them to drag along. And it's worse because they don't understand why they're tired or why they're starving or why they're not being fed or why they're being kept up. You know, I think that this is so important when you talk about order. In fact, when we talk about being spiritual, not religious, Jesus, I think of Jesus Christ in the Gospel according to John chapter 14, where he's talking right in the middle about the promises of the Holy Spirit. And so often when I think about spiritual, not religious, or anti-Christianity, what they're rejecting God, but they're also rejecting a way of life that God has presented. And that includes the Ten Commandments, you know, that includes understanding what the Beatitudes are. And I think of where Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit as a result of keeping his commandments. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What Jesus is saying is, if you follow my commandments, I will pray to the Father, and he will send you then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, literally the life of the Spirit alive within us, helping us to live out the Christian witness that we're called to. He never leaves us alone. But then he goes on to say exactly that. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. In other words, I think that, Christina, this whole spiritual, not religious, people are trying to make themselves so easygoing, open to anything, not bound by anything. But I think that it's a lonely path. And I think this is part of the reason why people aren't happier when they identify as spiritual, not religious, because they're missing the commandments. They're missing being right with God, having that correct vertical relationship with God to help clarify our horizontal relationships with one another. You know, when we don't have him, we are desolate. But when we do have him, we have this life of abundance. We are able to make decisions clearly. We're not always doubting our decisions. And I think that that's so important to our day-to-day happiness and ultimately joy, that is not just an emotion that's fleeting.
Yes, that is such a good point, Timri. It just reminded me of when I was coaching one of our bachelorettes last week, and she was saying that she had been away from going to Mass and she really needs to go back. And she said, I need guidance. I need structure. Mm-hmm. And that life without the Mass, without the Lord, wasn't, even though it seemed like, oh, I can do without it, it wasn't providing her that guidance, that peace that following him does, and following what the church says we should do does. So it's, and this is a woman who's been away from it for a while. So it speaks to exactly what you're saying. And then it's also, dating successfully requires discipline and requires certain rules that you follow if you want to get to the end goal of marriage. That's really important for your dating journey.
Amen. It's so important that we have this perspective when we're talking to people, especially friends and family around the holiday season, where we might begin to kind of just be blasé about some of the conversations. It's so much easier to just not engage in them and to try and keep the peace. But if someone starts to say stuff like, yeah, you know, I don't really believe in religion anymore, you have the opportunity. When they say they're spiritual, not religious, when they say, I don't really want to have kids, or I'm afraid of having kids, to listen. Ask why. You don't even have to have all the right answers. You have to ask questions. And maybe just by those questions, if not, you know, maybe sharing a few things, help guide them to seeing and understanding a different perspective, because that's where we find true happiness, when we follow the truth that God has set in store. Because to live a joy-filled life, which is what we want, not just a momentary emotional giddiness, we will live in the life of grace with Christ. And it's so important that we have that perspective. Christina, we have more questions coming in for our celebrity and royal matchmaker. Again, matchmaking us, helping us navigate relationships. It's the holiday season. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to dating, relationships, feeling single. Maybe you know someone who's going to show up to your Christmas celebration this year, and they're going to be down in the dumps about being single again. We're going to ask Christina when we come back her top tips for helping a loved one who's feeling the Christmas single blues. We'll be right back here on Trending.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, I'm making my way through your questions today for celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda. So send us your question now. You only have a few more minutes. Numbers 1 888-914-9149. Christina, before we dive into too many of these, I want to ask this question because I think it's so important. We all have someone, at least one of them, where the holidays roll around and we have a loved one who has the single blues. What can we do as that occurs to maybe like try to give that one helpful tip? Because, you know, everyone's like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? As a matchmaker, what would be your go-to tip for someone who's got the singles blues for trying to meet someone?
Right. Well, I would say first, remember your worth and that the Lord wants you with someone who will honor and marry you. So if you're single because you broke up with the wrong person, that's good. And it's better to be single than with the wrong one. So if you're with a relative who just broke up with someone, you can remind them of that. And then two other tips are a little more action oriented. The second one would be take action and change something. As Einstein says, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. If you're single and you don't want to be, you need to shake something up. And that's where the third tip comes in. You can choose to do something in your for the new year, whether it's working with a matchmaker, whether it's going out more, going to events more, telling all your friends that you're single, organizing some events to go to, joining the Young Catholic Professionals group, changing something in your life to help usher in the right person, the right woman or the right man for you. And one last tip actually is to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and that those basic life maintenance things like getting a haircut, wearing clothes that fit and look good on you. We're so busy that we often forget don't have time for those very simple self-care things.
Okay, this is a really important last point, and it's not to pick on anyone. And if you hear this and you're feeling a little sensitive about it, I'm going to throw out there that might be a little red flag that you should take this advice. And you're probably hating me right now for saying this, but I do notice the people who do need to work on keeping themselves up a little bit, you know, working on their presentation, are the same people who are always like making an excuse about it versus those people who like do try to take pride in that. They're like, yeah, that's true. So if you're sensitive to this, please take to heart this comment. You know, I can't tell you, I have a couple friends in particular, one male and the other female, who always has this attitude. Take me as I am. If they don't like me like this, well, I don't want to deceive someone by posting a photo where I have mascara on and I don't normally wear mascara. You know, I think that I worry when people have that perspective because the reality is that when we date someone, when we marry them, we should always hope and try to please that other person. Not that that's like the meaning and purpose of our life, but there should be this desire to be desirable toward another person. And I think sometimes we give up on this, even though deep down inside as women, we always have this longing to know that we're beautiful and that we are desired. It's so written so deeply into our hearts as women. I think that's why we struggle so badly in this culture with immodesty, because we want to be seen, desired, known, and loved. And we see the culture getting attention with the type of clothing that's being worn today. So we think that that's how we have to keep up. And so I think that this point is so important. I just want to add a couple things for, you know, single blues. You mentioned this. I just want to reemphasize it, Christina. Let people know that you're interested in being introduced to people, you're interested in dating, and that you want to have kids. Because when people know this, you bring them onto your dating team and you invite them. They're going to start watching for someone. I had my sister-in-law. She married the man she's married to now because someone showed up to her workplace and asked, "Are you single? Because I know someone who wasn't even like their family member who I can set you up with." And now they're married. You know, it's incredible what can happen when you share that you're interested in meeting someone.
Yeah, and even tell the people at church. Sometimes those old ladies at church, they're your matchmakers.
Or they have a really handsome nephew, grandchild. You never know. That is a really good point. Okay, questions coming in. Ooh, lots of questions. Okay, Leah Grace Salvador on Instagram said, if they say that is the guy, if the guy says he only sees you as a friend, why does he keep getting mad at you for being with other men?
Yeah, if he says he only sees you as a friend, you should take it like that. And I don't think you really need male friends. So I would probably distance yourself from that man. And especially he's getting jealous of you spending time with other men. That shows me that he has some issues, whether he wants what he can't have. That's bad attachment style. Yeah, I would distance yourself from this man.
Yeah, and I think, too, we have to be careful, too, with sometimes how our behavior might be kind of portraying signs such as we're easy. And sometimes I think when we have this, like, I'm always available type of attitude, an overly flirtatious attitude, sometimes even someone we've broken up with or says they're just friends with us will kind of pursue us, even though they're not pursuing us. Okay, another question. We've got a bunch of questions, so let's try to hit all of them. From Rose Blaze on Instagram, does the age gap have an impact on a marriage, and is there an ideal age gap? What are your thoughts?
Ooh, I know. People have different theories on this. I don't really believe in I think age gaps are fine, especially the ones where the socially unacceptable one for the woman to be a little bit older than the man, I think it's fine if the man is mature enough. And if you're both on board with the relationship, if it's a woman or a man trying to be with someone a lot older for financial stability, that's wrong. So you both have to go in with the right intentions, but I don't think age is that big of a deal if you have the right intentions.
Tons of questions. I'm going to answer this one really quick from Vic on Instagram. In a broken home, does it increase your child's likelihood to develop thoughts of being gay? This is a great question. I'll label it of being gay, transgender, any of that. What we do see is that it's not just broken homes, but it does include broken homes. When there are issues between mom and dad, or separation between mom and dad, or even just a issue in the development of a relationship with one of the parents, these are all common themes that we do see behind kids who struggle with same-sex attraction. Very, very key part of it. I want to highly recommend a book written by Dr. Joseph Nicolosi that has to do with preventing same-sex attraction in your children. Look up his work, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi. Amazon, everyone has canceled this book, so you have to find it from his actual website. We'll include it. Lucas, can you include a link to that book in the show notes for today's show? So you can find those at the podcast later today. But Preventing Homosexuality in Your Children, I believe, is the title. Another question, Christina, are people who cohabitate happier than those who wait until marriage?
No. They are not. Do not cohabitate. It is the worst thing. It actually increases the divorce rate once they do get married by 50%. So don't do it. It's not good for you. Wait to live together until you're married. And then you have that time before you move in together and before you get married to really discern the relationship, make sure this is the right person for you, and have that peace with the Lord about it, and know that you're doing it the Lord's way.
Amen. I love it. Okay, Christina, last thoughts here. We're quickly approaching Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas tradition that you wish everyone else would do as well?
The Nutcracker. I love watching The Nutcracker. I was always in it in doing ballet growing up, and the music is so beautiful. So play The Nutcracker music on Christmas Eve.
I love it. That's Christina Pineda, celebrity and royal matchmaker. Find her at matchmakersinthecity.com. Again, that's matchmakersinthecity.com. I'm Tim Marie. You've been listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. Okay, I'm going to answer this question because people keep asking, what does the Catholic Church have to teach about vasectomies? This is Tim Marie from Trending with Tim Marie Tuesday. We'll answer that question, but we're also going to get into the topic of singleness and how costs are escalating for single Americans today. Maybe this is something we can talk about this Christmas while we're at the dinner table, or not. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.